Praying through Revelation has been, to me, an interesting study. Praying through Revelation has been a lot about the issues of how God works against evil forces that try to destroy not just the world, but the church. Evil forces that started out in the first few years of the church trying to stamp it out, trying to stop God's work from going forward, from trying to stop Jesus from getting the credit he deserves for all the things he did for us as human beings. And all of that in Revelation talks about that combat between good and evil, that combat between the forces of evil that are trying to destroy. Jesus said, but the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So Revelation is the unfolding of a lot of these things that you see behind the scenes. You're looking behind the scenes. Victory over evil, I put this statement up there, victory over evil develops our praise prayers. We want to talk about prayer being praise. Some people think prayer is just asking and receiving. Well, it is that, but that's not all there is to prayer. Prayer can be a lot of things because prayer is a conversation with your Father in heaven. It's conversation with God, and a conversation you have with other people is not always asking for something, I hope. I hope your conversations with other people are more balanced than that, so your conversation with God can be more balanced than that. There are sometimes when you tell God how much you love Him. We should love God. Jesus said that's the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Put your life into that, He said, and your neighbors yourself. So when our conversation with God is balanced, it can be balanced in that area. It can be balanced in the area of praising Him. Some people wonder about that. Why does God always want the praise? If a person wants praise always, we say something's wrong. But not with God, because He always deserves praise. And if you notice, we'll get into that in Revelation. As you notice, as Revelation unfolds, that the creatures and the elders and the angels that are near God's throne, it's not like, oh, I guess we better praise Him. It comes out of them. It just explodes out of them because that's who He is. Praise is the truth about God. It is just an outburst. Holy, holy, holy is it comes out of the angels. Because anytime you get around God, God's nearness, it just comes out. So praise develops in this combat between good and evil. I give you an illustration. I put the reference up there. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. And you read the rest of it, what happens? I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. It talks about how you, the chapter before that, or the early part of that chapter, talks about how Jesus sent out the 72, and they came back and they said, even the demons submit to us. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then He said, I praise you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise, but given them to little children. It's kind of like, these people are not rabbis. These people are not theological experts. These people have not spent, you know, all their lives studying the scriptures of the old law. Jesus just picked them and said, go out and tell this story. Go out and even the demons will be subject to you. And they came back and they were amazed. So Jesus praised His Father because the Father worked in a way that fooled the world. The world didn't pick up on it, but the people that followed Jesus did. They had the ability. They had the power. So praise came out of Jesus because of what He had seen His Father do. Now you're going to see that some in Revelation. So in this next slide, watch how Revelation features prayer as praise 14 different times. Now, your count may be different than mine, but when I counted a couple of times, and the ones I think are more like a praise to God, which is a prayer, not asking for anything, telling Him something, talking to Him about something, telling Him who we think He is. That can be a prayer. That is good prayer, isn't it? In fact, when we had our prayer workshop several years ago, Dave Butts, who has spoken here several times, said that in one of his lessons. He talked about how you should begin your prayers, pardon me, begin your prayers with praise. And he demonstrated, and it really does make a powerful difference. You start out reading some scriptures, that some of them in Revelation that are praise scriptures, and it'll do wonders for your prayer life. You won't be thinking, what can I come up with to pray about? It'll come out of you. So in this first one, one of the 14, there are going to be several on this first slide here. But number one, I put them in categories. First category is heaven's habit of praise, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Now, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm just going to read these. Did your mama ever read you to sleep when you were a kid? So I'm counting on the Spirit to read this to you also to say that for it will reach you and it will stir you if you look at it and you listen to it. When you do that, I hope you have your Bible handy. The Word of God is your weapon, right? Sword of the Spirit. If a police officer gets ready for work and he leaves his belt and his pistol behind, I imagine he'll come back to the house and get it, won't he? Why do we go off without our weapon? We don't have a very close, some don't have a close relationship with the Word, the Bible. Revelation chapter 4, on the first one there, it's verse 8, because in chapter 4, this is the first time you see heaven. Heaven is opened in a way. And he said, I looked there, and before me was a door standing in heaven at the beginning of chapter 4. Then you come to verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered. Each of the four was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. These are some strange-looking creatures flying around heaven. They've got wings, and they've got eyes even under them. They can see. You can't sneak up on them, can you? They can see you anywhere. These four living creatures, day and night, it says, day and night, never stop saying, holy, holy, holy. What does holy mean? God is holy, which means literally, if you go back far enough, track the word back far enough, it means the other. There's God in this life, and then there's the other. If you've ever bumped up against the supernatural, you get that feeling, don't you? Ooh, that's something else. Well, God is something else. When you get in God's presence, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel like somebody's in the room and it ain't just me. You're going to bump up against the supernatural, and when you do, it's going to sometimes be hair-raising, some people say. God is the other. God is not like this world. God is transcendent beyond evil. He is not evil. He has no evil in him. He cannot do evil, and he won't tempt you to do evil, James wrote. So God is the other, and these four living creatures are saying, holy. It comes out of them. I don't think they sit there and, what do you want to say today? I don't know. What do you want to say today? It just comes out of them. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. He's transcendent. That's what grabs them, and it just comes spurting out of them. And it says they can't stop. They can't stop saying it. Why can't they stop saying it? It is praise, and it is a prayer in the sense of they're giving him reverence and they're giving him praise. So that's one instance in Revelation where you see this praise thing come out. Even these four living creatures, if you read chapter 4 earlier, you find out how strange they were, and they pop up several times in the book of Revelation. The four creatures. Under that number one heading, heaven's habit of praise, we have the four creatures. Now the 24 elders in verse 11. Verse 11. If you go to verse 9, Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, thanks, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, here's what they're saying, you are worthy. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. They exist because You spoke them into existence. They're still here because you say they're still here. So what's this about? When the living creatures are saying, "Holy is God," the 24 elders, why 24? Well, there are 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles. 12 and 12 puts the two major groups of the people of God together in one group, and they're all there, and they're praising Him. And it says, they say, "You are worthy." Well, that's going to be important later, because worthy is an important idea in the next chapter. You are worthy. Is God worthy of your praise? Is God worthy of your love? Is God worthy of your trust, that you trust Him and you trust His Word? God is worthy. He's not a phony. He's not a fake. This is for real. He is the real deal. He is worthy. He's worthy of anything you can give Him. He's worthy of your time and your attention and your love. That's why Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength." This is relationship. It's kind of hard to have a relationship with somebody who's perfect. Sort of hard to have a relationship with this God who's transcendent, except for the fact that Jesus is the Lamb who gave Himself so we could do this. These living creatures, God made them, and they appreciate that. The 24 elders, He created all things, they say, and He is worthy. The next one is number 2 on the next slide. The next section is praise to the Lamb, chapter 5, verse 9. Praise to the Lamb. In chapter 5, do you remember, we studied it earlier, that they had the scroll with 7 seals and nobody was worthy to open the scrolls. And they finally decided, everybody was, in fact, John in verse 5 of chapter 5 was crying, weeping, because there were nobody was worthy. Until they saw the Lamb. They see the Lamb, but He's a lion, but He's a lamb. And the Lamb has suffered for the sins of the world, and He has given His blood so we can all have eternal life, and He is worthy. So He begins to open the scrolls. This is chapter 5 and verse 8. When He had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. There are some songs in Revelation. A new one. What's a new song? Well, it's one I haven't heard before. What's a new song? Some song written out of a new situation. That's a new situation. What's the new situation? The Lamb is beginning. He's going to begin to open the scrolls. So they begin to sing, "You are worthy." Nobody else in heaven was worthy to open the scroll. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals." Why? "Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." God didn't cut anybody out. You can all come in now because of one man and what he did. "You are worthy," they're singing. "You, Jesus, you, Lamb, you are worthy to do what? Open the scrolls. You're going to open the future of the whole universe. You're opening what's going to happen next. You're opening all this war between good and evil, between God and His enemies, Satan primarily, between the church and the Roman Empire." And He says, "You're worthy." They say, "You're worthy," the living creatures and the 24 elders. Verse 10, "You made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." They will reign on the earth. The next one is chapter 5, verse 12, the angels. Oh, the angels get into this thing too. What are angels? Creatures that God created to do His will. And many of them live in heaven. Some sit on the earth, evidently. But they're in the heavenly realms, and they're creatures relating to the Creator, the one who made them all. See, in praise you acknowledge I am God's creature. God made me. Look at your hands. Look at your fingers. Think about, God made this. He made me. Now you say, "Well, my mama and my daddy and I was born." Yeah, but where did it all start? Guess what? If God didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. I don't care what your mom and daddy did. So this idea here is that the people who are created and the angels who are created are continuing to praise Him. Verse 11, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircle the throne. And the living creatures and the elders, wouldn't you like to be in that scene? Angels everywhere, thousands, tens of thousands upon tens of thousands. In a loud voice, they sang what? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Notice this. Seven is a big number in Revelation, isn't it? Here's a sevenfold blessing on the Lamb. Can you do that in your private prayer time? Get Revelation out and start saying it. Say it out loud. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive seven things. Power. Power. He's worthy to receive all the power that there is. Wealth. Does He own everything? He owns it all. Wisdom. Does He have all wisdom? Strength. You need some strength? Guess who has it? Honor. Honor's important, isn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother, the Bible says. Honor people whom God wants you to honor. Honor is respect. He receives honor, glory, and praise. So all of this is a song sung by angels in verse 11. That number 10,000 times 10,000, more than you can count, in other words. So heaven, there's one break that we saw last week where there was silence in heaven for a half an hour, but that was probably about it, because heaven seems to be a noisy place, doesn't it? Why is it noisy? People are excited. Why are ball games noisy? People get excited. My team is winning. My team is losing. Why is heaven a noisy place? I'm not sure that you can take all the figures in Revelation and make them translate exactly to the heavenly realm we're going to experience, but I guarantee you when you get to heaven, you're not going to have a problem praising God. It's just going to come boiling out of you. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know it was going to be this great. I got a new body and I'm like Jesus, and I didn't know I was coming to heaven as an owner. I didn't know I was coming to, I thought, yeah, we're children of God. But that's my Father on that throne. Yeah, that's my Father, and my brother Jesus is the Lamb, and all the hall of heaven, all the angels, all the creatures, all the elders, 24 elders who are there, praising Him, because He is worthy. He, you are worthy. Chapter 5, verse 13 is another one. Then I heard every creature. Does that leave anybody anything out? I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, wherever that is, and on the sea, every creature that there is on the earth and in heaven and under the earth and on the sea, all that is in them singing. All creation starts singing. What does that mean? There is something coming out of all creation, this says, that John experienced when he was in heaven, when he had the vision of heaven. What are they singing? To Him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. That's a pretty good amen when those guys give you an amen, right? It rocked heaven, probably, those four living creatures. What are they? I don't know, but they're creatures and they live in heaven and they serve God, and there are four of them and they're strange-looking beings, according to Revelation. The great multitude is next. Chapter 7, verse 9, the great multitude. Oh, the slide's keeping up, I hope so. Yeah, there you go. Doing a good job, how about that? The great multitude, chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Not even with computers, huh? From every nation. Every tribe, every people group, every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. How big is this multitude? Can you imagine? It's like a sea of humanity from every background and every language and every tribe, and so there's no racism in heaven, is there? All this ocean of people, so far you can't see the end of it, and nobody's able to count it. And what are they doing? They're standing before God, the Father, and they're standing before the Lamb, and they, and it says in verse 9, they were wearing white robes, and they're holding palm branches in their hands. Palm branches are always used for praise and for celebration. They're celebrating, and they cried out in a very quiet voice. Is that what it says? Not that crowd. They're having church. You know what I mean by that? No, they're having a good time. And what's happening? And all this, if you have a multitude, you can't even count how many are there, and they start yelling together the same thing, that would rock heaven, wouldn't it? They cried out in a loud voice. What did they cry out? This is good for your prayer life. Salvation belongs to my God. Salvation belongs to our God. He's the Saver, the Savior. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the land, on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels, how many? Verse 11? All the angels. How many? I don't know how many God has, but they were all there. So there's a multitude of people, you so big you can't count it. And then there all the angels show up. And what happens then? We're standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Well, who fell down? The angels or the creatures or the elders? I guess all of them did. They all did. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Amen to what? Salvation belongs to our God. That's what they had just heard from this crowd. And then the angels and the creatures get involved and the elders, and they say, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength. Another seven. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What's going on in heaven? Whew. A lot of praise to God. Think about it. What's Revelation about? The early church is being attacked by the Roman Empire. The church today, overseeing many places in this world, are being attacked by governments, governmental systems. What happens when that takes place, where mankind and all of his governmental organization tries to stamp out the church? Revelation says, watch out. There's an Old Testament passage that says, touch not my anointed. You don't touch God's people and get away with it. If I had to summarize Revelation in one sentence, that would be it. You don't touch God's people and get away with it. You don't try to stamp out the work of the Lamb and get away with that. Now, some of this is, as you see some of these things, they're pretty gruesome judgments that fall on the earth. But right now we're looking at the praise that's going on because God takes care of his people. Next slide. The victorious church, chapter 11. The victorious church. The church is now coming out of this persecution and they are being victorious. There are some voices in heaven, chapter 11, verse 15. Chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. I wrote right next to that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Verse 24, 25, 26, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 24, says that. He's reigning. Jesus is reigning now. He has to reign, 1 Corinthians says, till he puts all of his enemies under his feet. So he's working right now to put his enemies under his feet through us. Then it talks about the last enemy that he will defeat is death. So when you see the resurrection and you see death disappear in a resurrection, death has been whipped. Death that's been around since Adam will have been defeated. And then it says, 1 Corinthians 15, he'll turn the kingdom over to the Father. And we'll all be in that together. And we will all worship the Father together. Isn't that something? The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So that's a those are voices in heaven. Then you hear from the 24 elders in Revelation 11, verse 17. Chapter 11, verse 16. Begins in verse 16. 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God after they hear this seventh angel and loud voices in heaven. So the 24 elders are back down on their faces again in verse 17. We give thanks to you, Lord Almighty, Lord God Almighty. We give thanks to you. That's a prayer, isn't it? You're not asking for anything. You're just praising God. You're thanking God. Then give God plenty of thanks and praise in your prayer life, and you'll love it even more. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened. And within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant, and there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and great hailstorm. What's happening? God's releasing. Jesus is reigning, and God's releasing. He's still doing it today. He's releasing his judgment on situations that try to stamp out the gospel and stamp out the church. Chapter 15, the Song of Moses. Do you remember Moses sang right after they got across the Red Sea? You can read that back in Exodus. But here in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. I better start at verse 2 to get the whole thing. And I looked and saw and looked what like a looked. What looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. This is John seeing another vision. Sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast. Over the beast. That's also another phrase for Roman Empire. You read that as you go through. Victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. And they held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. There is a song we've sung sometimes. Doesn't it have that phrase in it? The song of Moses and the Lamb. Here are the lyrics to their song. Where is that going on in heaven? Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Wouldn't that be a great prayer to pray out loud for yourself at home? Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Song of Moses and the Lamb. Chapter 16, there's another one. Chapter 16, verse 5. This one is the angel. There's an angel that says something. And then there's also the altar. Chapter 16, verse 5. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments." Is God always just and fair? And true and right. That's a good prayer. You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. Ooh, you read that and you think, these poor people in these groups, these radical groups that beheaded Christians, what kind of judgment are they going to face? They already are facing it. So that one is the angel. But then verse 7, the altar starts talking. Isn't that amazing? Everything in heaven has a voice, doesn't it, almost? So the altar starts talking. Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. So the altar agrees with what the angel says, the angel in charge of the waters said that. Chapter 19, verse 1. This one is called, again, the great multitude. Chapter 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting. Here's another group that can't count, and they're shouting all together. Shouting. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments. They say that a lot now at the end of Revelation because judgment is falling on God's enemies. And they're saying, this is only right. This is fair. This is just. True and just are His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute. You find out from reading Revelation, that's the great prostitute is Rome, the great enemy of the church in that day, and also the great spreader of paganism all over the world. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The city of Rome, judged because of the way they attacked the church. Then in chapter 19, verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both great and small. Is that, does God want us to do that? That's a command. I mean, that's like, do this. What? Praise Him. Praise God. Praise our God. Do that in your prayer time. Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both great and small. That was the 24 elders and the living creatures. And the last one is the great multitude again, chapter 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Then he added, these are the true words of God. Do you see that as the struggle between the evil world system and the gospel and the church, that struggle is going on. When that happens, God's people don't run and hide in a corner and say, oh, is God ever going to help us? There's some of that. But Revelation says, look at this. What's happening is everybody that's been through the great tribulation, everybody that's been persecuted, everybody that's been hurt, everybody that's been killed, all those who have made it to the heavenly realms, all the angels, all the creatures, all creation are just busy praising God because He is the answer, and they're not worried. They're not worried any at all about the Roman Empire winning this fight. That struggle took about 300 years. That's about how long the church was persecuted by the Roman government and then later on other governments that kind of evolved out of that. But all of that persecution, if you look at it today, here we are. We're in the same church they were in. We're in the same group they were in. We're God's people. We're followers of Jesus. We're believers on the Lamb. We've accepted the Lamb as our payment, as the one who got us out of this mess and saved us from a hell, saved us from sin. and we're praising Him, all of that, and a church is still here, and a Roman Empire is in history books. It's in history books. It's in museums. Be careful touching God's people. It won't go well for any one person, any government, any entity out there. It won't go well for anybody who touches God's people. Now, there'll be some suffering like there is in the world right now in places like some of the Asian world is having persecution, certainly the world of Islam and all of that. Not everywhere, but some places. Sad fact is Christians for a long time persecuted each other because we didn't agree with each other's doctrines. That just won't go well. The last time I checked, God made this world and made all the people in it, and He can cancel the whole thing if He wants to. He can pull the plug on the whole deal and say, all right, that's enough. And He will one day. So what's our takeaway? Maybe that next slide will help. Here's what Jesus said, or it said in Revelation anyway. This is what the Lamb would say. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys to death and Hades. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Who's in charge of this thing anyway? Jesus is. And He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of a virus. Don't be afraid of persecution. Don't be afraid of, you don't do stupid things. I don't go out, stand in the middle of the interstate, say, God's going to protect me. No. Jesus didn't jump off the temple like the devil told Him to do. He said, I don't tempt my Father, but I know He takes care of me. So believe and have faith and say, I serve the one who is at the apex, the one who is at the acme, the very top of all creation. A man is in the Godhead. A human being like us is in the Godhead with the Father and the Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. And because of that, Jesus said, do not worry. Are you troubled? Are you heavily laden? Are you burdened down? Come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. In other words, follow me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'll help you, in other words. The greatest failing, I think, in many ways, of the modern church is we don't know much about faith and we don't know how to get it. So we cringe all the time about, oh, how's it going to turn out? Is it going to be bad? Are we going to suffer a lot? Are we, there are some people I've known and met and heard about that are just stand before, they're unafraid. They'll preach the word knowing they're going to be abused for it. Preach the word in strange places that probably we don't even know the names of. Places out there where they're abused for preaching the word. They just say, that's what I'm called to do. Where's our courage? Our courage, I have the same struggle you do. Our courage is missing sometimes because our faith life is weak. Because we don't stay in this. I'm going to give you a challenge. This week, every day, read all those scriptures, pray them out loud a couple of times a day or more, and you tell me at the end of the week whether it made a difference in your life, whether you feel different. I bet you will. Father, we're thanking You right now for Your word and especially for the peak that You give us into the heavenly realms. We know it's probably even greater than what we can understand. We know it is greater than anything we can read or understand. But we are grateful to You, Father, knowing that we are in the family, that we are part of this thing, that Jesus has died for us and is raised back to life, that You sent Your Spirit to live in us to help us walk in this world and to help us perform the mission You sent us to do. As we pray to You, Lord, we thank You that your word has helped us understand and helped us be strong and grow. We know, Father, that the world is always changing. When we say it can't happen or it can't happen here, we're just misinformed, because we know that the world changes. We want to be courageous. We want to be full of faith. We want to be people of prayer that praise you and give you honor for all you've done for us. And we want to walk with you and love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And we want to be an impact maker on this world out here. The only solution for them, Father, is Jesus. And we know that. So help us. Help us as we walk forward into this life and try to help those out there who are blinded. We pray that you'll take off the blinders of those people that we know and love and we're praying about. Open their eyes, Father. Send people across their path to share Jesus with them. Help us, Father, as we follow you. We're thankful to you that we don't have to make this happen. We don't have to make anything happen. We just follow your lead. Follow your lead. Because you have the keys to death and Hades, you said. So we know all things that impact us are in your hands, and we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you will, take a songbook, stand with us, and be ready to sing. And if you have a special prayer request, come up here and we will pray for you. So let's sing this together.